This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Reaching Out Together.
Now, last week, I talked about how that you were created for five purposes. But those five purposes that God has for your life cannot be fulfilled on your own. You have to have other people in your life. We are wired for relationships. God said it is not good for man to be alone. God hates loneliness. And so he wants us to be in community with each other. Now, you don't need 100 friends, but you do need 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 that are really there with you. And the tragedy is most people today don't have a single intimate friend. They got a lot of acquaintances, but they don't have anybody who's really looking out for their spiritual growth, who's helping them, who says, I'm going to be there no matter what happens in your life. And so we're going to be looking at how to deepen relationships and why relationships go bad and how do you turn them around. Now, today, we're going to end with the last purpose. We're going to start with the end. The last purpose for your life is you're made for a mission. And God wants you to share his love with other people, with your friends, with your family, with the people you work with, and to show his love to those who don't know Christ yet, who are not in his family. Now, why does he want us to do that? Because God wants everybody in his family. God has never made a person he didn't love. God has never made a person he didn't have a purpose for. God has never made a person that Jesus Christ didn't die for. And so God wants us to share that good news, but you're not alone. God wants you to do it with other people. A couple examples of that are there at the top of your outline. In the book of Philippians, Paul says this in verse 27. Let's read it aloud together. You are standing together, side by side, with one strong purpose, to tell the good news. Now circle standing together and circle telling the good news. That's what we're looking at today. How do we do it together? How do I share with my friends that God loves them? And how do I do it in a partnership with other people? How do we do it together as a small group? Because we're to reach out together. The next verse in the same chapter says this, you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. Circle that word partners. We're going to look at 7 ways to partner with other believers, with other people in the family of God, to help reach your friends, your relatives, the people you care about most, with the good news. And we're going to look at it in a little acrostic I spell out, P-A-R-T-N-E-R, on how to partner to share God's love. Before you can do that, though, you have to make a choice. And you have to make the choice that I'm going to be unselfish. I'm going to start caring not just about my own life, but I'm going to start caring about other people's lives. And I'm going to care about telling them about the good news. That's the choice. Will I choose to do the right thing? Will I choose to be loving? Will I choose to follow what God wants? If you're going to fulfill God's purposes for your life, you have to make the choice. And the choice that says, first, I'm going to choose to share the good news with other people. Now, during 40 days of community, we have over 3,000 small groups meeting all over Orange County, over 3,000. How do we use these groups, these 3,000 groups, to reach out and show love to our friends, to our family, to the people we care about, that we want so badly to know the love and grace and goodness of God? Well, here's how you do it. You partner together, P-A-R-T-N-E-R. P stands for pray together. Pray together. And the first thing you do is you ask your small group to pray for your friends that haven't stepped across the line, who are still considering the claims of Christ, who don't really know God in a personal way yet. And you ask them to pray, and you pray together. You know, you can't force anybody to love God, but you can pray for them. And prayer can do what God can do. Prayer can melt hard hearts. Prayer can warm up a cold heart. Prayer can activate and arouse an apathetic heart. And prayer can change a stubborn heart. I have seen it done thousands and thousands of times. Prayer can do whatever God can do. You see, people can reject your arguments. They may refuse to listen to your logic, but they are powerless against your prayers. And it goes straight to their heart. And the cool thing about prayer is you can do it long distance. It's like you can pray. My wife is right now in the Philippines, and she spoke in a church there this morning, and in the afternoon, she's meeting with the president of the Philippines. I can pray for her and send a prayer all the way across the ocean, and boom, it goes straight to her heart. That is the power of prayer. And when you pray together and you say, these are the people I want you to pray about, God actually works. Now, what are we supposed to pray about as a group? Well, one of the things is in Colossians 3:4, the Bible says this. Pray for us that God will give us the opportunity to tell people his message. So we pray for God's opportunity to share with our friends and our loved ones and people we care about the great news about God. And as we pray for opportunity, you know what happens? You start seeing them everywhere. Actually, you got lots of opportunities. They're all around you. You just don't notice them. Would you write this down? Prayer makes me aware. Prayer makes me aware. When I start praying for my family, then I start seeing the needs of my family. When I start praying for my friends, I start seeing the needs of my friends. When I start praying for my coworkers, I start getting concerned about my coworkers. It changes my heart, for one thing. And so here's the first action step in sharing the good news. Make a group prayer list and then share it with each other. I want you to ask everybody in your small group, name one person that you would really like to know the Lord, but they don't know the Lord yet. And we'll all share those names. We'll make a list of 6 names or 7 names or 10 names or whatever. And then we'll start praying for each other's friends or each other's family. And everybody starts praying, and people you know and love will begin having a lot of people praying for them. And there's power in that. Number two, the A in partner stands for appeal. Appeal to common interests. Before you can share the good news with anybody, you have to establish a relationship with them. Before you can reach them, you must relate to them. So you find out, what do we have in common? What do we like to talk about? What do we have? Common experiences, common interests, common needs, common hurts. Do we like to fish? Do we like to golf? Do we like to cook? Do we like to shop? Do we like to sleep? Do we have kids? Are we interested in soccer or baseball or basketball or whatever? So the second step, if you're getting your group to reach out, is to make a list of the things you have in common. You ought to talk with the people in your small group. Say, what do we like to do? And you just make a list of all the things, and you find, well, you like to do that. Well, I like to do that too. And you share it with each other, and then you ask, who do we know who'd also like to do that, who isn't yet a believer? Who do we know who has not in the family of God, who probably would enjoy going to an angel game with us or would love to do that? And which of my coworkers or neighbors would like to do that? I know of a group where they're all San Diego Charger fans, and they love football. And so what they did is everybody in the group bought a season ticket to the Charger game, and then they all pitched in together, and they bought 2 more season tickets. And every time they go to a game, they take 2 new people with them to the game. And they just go and they have a good time at the football game. And then at the end they say, did you enjoy this? Yeah, that was fun. Well, you know, this same group meets on Thursday night over at Bob's house. Would you like to join us? Well, yeah, you guys are normal people. That'd be fun. And so you just have fun with them. I know a small group, they do a thing, they like to watch movies together. Now, this is different from their small group time, but they just hang out. And so they do a thing called Master Wing Theater. And every other Friday night, they get together on a Friday night and they make hot wings. And then they watch a movie together. And they just have a good time. Well, you see, that's finding common interests that people would like to do. So you pray together, you appeal to common interest. The R in partner stands for reach out in love. Reach out in love. Why? Because you have to have the right motive in reaching out to your neighbors and friends. Jesus said, love your neighbor how? As yourself. Yeah, you know the old cliche, people don't care what we know until they know we care. And so everything we do is out of love. Well, why are we doing this? Why are we even talking about reaching out to our community? Why don't we just focus on us? And we got enough people in our church. Why don't we just focus on making the love in our church warmer and stronger? Why in the world should we focus out on the community around our church? Why would we do that? Well, we certainly don't do it out of guilt, and we certainly don't do it out of pressure, and we don't do it out of duty, and we don't do it to make God like us because he already loves us. We don't do it because we're better than anybody else, because we're not. We do it for three reasons. First, we have the greatest news in the world to share. If I had the cure for cancer, I'd be shouting it in the streets. If I had the cure for AIDS, I'd be telling everybody I could. But I've got something better than that. The key to purpose in life and eternal life. So, see, what is the good news anyway? The Bible says we're to share the good news. What is the good news? Okay, here it is in a nutshell. The good news is this: you're not an accident. You're not an accident. You were made by God, and he has a purpose and plan for your life, and you were made to last forever, and God wants you to live forever with him in eternity, but he wants you to get to know him here on earth. He knows and loves everything about you, and he wants you to know and love him too. And Jesus Christ came to earth so you could get to know what God is like. And he died on the cross and paid for all your sins. So everything you've ever done wrong is completely wiped out and forgotten and forgiven. And it gives you a purpose for living in the present. And it gives you a home in heaven in the future. Now, that's good news. Where else am I going to hear that kind of news? I mean, it's not like we're trying to give people rabies or something. Okay, this is the best news in the world. And everybody needs to hear it. So that's the first reason why we focus out on the community and not just on us. The second is out of a heart of gratitude. You know, if God never did another thing for me, I still owe him my life. Just for the fact that he's forgiven everything I've ever done wrong, and he's given me a security of a home in heaven and a purpose for living now. And he's helped me with so many problems in my life. I owe him everything, so I do it out of gratitude. But then there's a third reason why we reach out, and that's because the Bible says God is love. And when God comes into your life, you start loving other people. In fact, I'll be real honest with you. If you don't love anybody else, real simple, you don't have God in your life. You don't. I'm just telling you, you may think you do, but you don't. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4, God is love. And you can't have somebody as big as God come into your life and not change you. And all of a sudden, you stop becoming less selfish and more loving. You start caring. I want to tell you something. If I didn't have Christ in my life, I wouldn't be standing here, because I was a very selfish person before Christ came into my life. I didn't care about anybody. All I cared about was me, myself, and I, my needs, my interest, and the rest of you, forget you. But when God's love comes into your life, you can't help but start to love other people. And so we do it out of love. The Bible says this. There on your outline, because we loved you. That's the motive for reaching out in love. Because we loved you, we were happy to share not only God's good news, but even our own lives. And God says, when you share with people who don't know me yet, I don't want you to just share the good news. I want you to share your life with them. If you don't do both, it's not really love. And you know what the problem is? Sadly today, most people who don't know the Lord, who are unbelievers, who haven't stepped across the line, most people, they think that they expect Christians to reach out in judgment, not to reach out in love. Because there's this idea of, oh, Christians, they think they're better than everybody else. They think they got all the answers. They've got a higher standard of living. They put down everybody else. They look down their noses. They're just looking to judge everybody else. That's the common conception. Not the idea that we love people because Christ is in our lives. What is sharing the good news? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. That's it. I'm not any better than anybody else, but we just pass it on. And so they expect us to reach out in judgment, and a lot of Christians are more known for what they're against than what they're for. Let me show you a verse that may shock you. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. It says, "It's not my business to judge those who are not a part of the church." It's not my business. Why? You know, when my kids used to mess up when they were little, I took care of that. When the kids next door, the neighbor's kids messed up, I didn't handle that. Why? Not my kids. Kids down the street mess up, I didn't worry. Not my kids. They're not in my family. And so the Bible says, yeah, we're to take care of each other in the family. But let me give you a little principle. Never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer until he is one. Never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer. He can't, or she can't. She doesn't have the power to change. You see, there are a lot of things in my life I wanted to change before I invited Christ in, but I couldn't. There were some habits, some things I didn't like about myself. I could not change, no matter how much I tried. And I kept saying, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, make a New Year's resolution, etc. And I had no power to do it. That's why it's really kind of silly to try to make laws to make people act like Christians before they become Christians. It isn't going to happen. They can only do it with God's power in their life. So we don't run around here. When I run around here and I see somebody who's not a believer acting in a way that's kind of foul or stupid or selfish or dumb, I'm not out judging them. No, I'm called to love them and help them come to know Christ so then they can have the power to make a change. And I just remember, man, that's the way I was. Here's the action step. Ask God to give you a deeper love for other people. Ask God to give you a deeper love for other people. Now, before you turn that outline over, why don't you write this question at the bottom? How can I pray for you? One of the best ways that you can show love to a friend or to a family member or to a coworker who is not a believer yet is to simply ask them, how can I pray for you? See, that's not offensive. Even people who are atheists don't mind you praying for them. They say, sure, you know, if you believe in it, I'll use all the help I can get. Everybody wants to be prayed for. Everybody does. In fact, they're grateful for it. You know, I've asked this question of tens of thousands of people. Say, how can I pray for you? I've never had a single person in my entire life say, oh, please don't. No, don't pray for me. I don't need it. I don't want it. I've never had one person. Why? Everybody wants to be prayed for. So you just say, tell me what's going on in your life. What's tough? What are you facing right now that I could pray and ask God for help in your life? Tom's going to talk about the next one.
And there is a fourth way that you and I can partner together to let other people know how great God's love is, and that is to tell your stories. To tell your stories, to do what the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 2:9. You are God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him and to tell others of the night and day difference that he has made for you. You tell your story. In fact, the most effective way to let other people know about the great things that God can do in their lives is to tell the story of what God's done in your life. That is what makes a difference. And the great thing about telling stories is you are the expert on your story. You may be an expert on some other things, but I can tell you there's one thing that every one of us across this campus is a world expert on, and that is your story, what God's done in your life. And I've found over the years that people, they want to hear your story. What they don't want to hear is your story. You know what I'm talking about? You know those stories where people are there 15 minutes into the story, they're still 5 years old, your tongue's hanging out, that kind of a story. People just want to hear the short story. So we owe it to them to take a few minutes to think it through so we can tell the story of what God's done in 2 or 3 minutes, not 2 or 3 hours. Tell the story. Jesus said, you're to be my witnesses. It's a great picture. When you hear the word witness, I think of a courtroom. Most of us do. It's a perfect picture of what God's asking us to do to make a difference in the world. I'm to be his witness. He doesn't ask us to be the attorney arguing the case. He doesn't ask us to be the judge judging other people. He says, I want you to be my witnesses. And what does a witness do? A witness just says, here's what I've seen, here's what I've heard. A witness just tells the story of what God's done in their life to other people. I think a lot of us can think of a lot of different stories that we have, a lot of different things that God has done in our lives. But one of the things we struggle with a little bit is, how do I get into it? I mean, how do I start to tell the story in a natural way where it doesn't seem fake or phony? And there is no one way, I have to say to you. It depends on the circumstance. It depends on the situation. One way is to listen for problems that Jesus has helped you with. And when you find a problem that Jesus has helped you with, you went through that to help other people. So you can say, look, God helped me with that. Maybe he can help you too. There's another way you can do this. You can also just sort of relate to a current event, something that's going on that everybody's facing, maybe everybody's struggling with, something you see in the newspaper or on TV. So you relate to a problem that's in your life that somebody else has faced or a current event, or there's another thing you can do. Sometimes there's someone, you've known them for a long time, but you've never told them what God's done in your life. And you know how you get to a point where you don't want to tell them because you never have told them? It's almost embarrassing. What do you do then? Great way to start then is an apology. Just apologize for never having said, look, I've never told you the most important thing in my life, my relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Friends don't keep good news from other friends, so you tell them the good news of what God's done in your life. Now here's an action step with this, just a simple action step. Write out your story and share it with your group. Start there. Start with your group. Let other people that you know, that are close to you, know first. Some of you never even shared the story of what God's done in your life with someone in your group. So in your group, during 40 days of community, here's what you do. Each week, have somebody share their story as a part of your group. Just take 2 or 3 minutes to do that. Or maybe one night you pair up and everybody tells their story on the same night. But some way, during 40 days of community, everybody gets a chance to tell their story. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 16. In fact, let's read this verse together. Listen, and I'll tell you what God has done for me. Do that. First of all, with each other, and then I encourage you, maybe at the end of 40 days of community, have a party and invite a bunch of people from the community over, other friends that you have, and everybody tell your story that night. Just sort of let everybody tell their story. Tell them, hey, we want to try this out on you, and you can give us your feedback, something like that. It's interesting, as you hear several people tell their story, not just you, but you and you and you and you, there is power in a group witness. When I can hear the story from a lot of people, it makes the story even more powerful.
The fifth way to help other people experience God's love is to nurture friendships. Just build friendships with them so you can build a bridge between your heart and theirs and Jesus Christ can walk across. Now, this step takes a little bit more time and effort. It takes a little more energy to build a friendship. You just don't do it overnight. But the Bible says in Romans 12, be friendly with everybody. Don't be proud and feel that you're smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. I said earlier that very few people have a true friend in life, and everybody is looking for a true friend. I'm not talking about acquaintances. Everybody's got acquaintances. But I'm talking about people who are there with you when you need them most. And who do you build those friendships with? The people that are already in your life. They're the people you work with, you go to school with, you live with, that are down the street, the people on your speed dial on your phone. They're all around you. And as I said, God has put these people in your life specifically so you can share the good news with them. And if not you, who? You are the only Bible some people will ever read. You represent Jesus Christ to them. Now, one of the best ways to build a friendship is a biblical method that I love. Tom mentioned it earlier. Have a party. Did you know that much of Jesus' ministry was done at parties? If you go read the Gospels, read his life, you'll read that he often did ministry at parties. In fact, he was such a party animal that the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, called him a glutton and a drunk. They called Jesus a glutton and a drunk because he was always at parties. Why? Because that's where the people were that he wanted to share the love of God with. He even taught his disciples to do this. One of his disciples named Levi, not the gene guy, but another guy, his name was also Matthew. Look at the next verse. In his home, Levi, also called Matthew, gave a big dinner party for Jesus. And many fellow tax collectors and other guests were also there. Now, why does it say many fellow tax collectors? Because that's what Matthew was. He was a tax collector. So he calls up the office, all his buddies say, hey, come on over. He had an office party for Jesus. That's what he did. Some of you could do it right there at the office. I mean, you could get a laptop and put the DVDs on of 40 Days of Community. At lunchtime, everybody's got to eat anyway. You might start a group at work in your lunchroom. Now, here we're talking, though, about a party. And I would encourage you to have a Matthew's party. What's a Matthew's party? It's no agenda, but fun. And you just bring some people over who don't know the Lord and who you want to get acquainted with and just build friendship and show love to. You know, a lot of you guys have barbecues in your backyard. If they're portable, I want to challenge you to move it to the front yard sometime. Start cooking out front. You'll get a crowd. You know, that smell will start wafting down the cul-de-sac and they'll show up and then, hey, here, have a burger. You know, I'm just talking about getting people together for Monday night football or something like that. In fact, 1 Timothy 3:2 says one of the qualifications to be a pastor is you have to enjoy having people in your home. Well, I do because I'm a party animal.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional by going to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life.
This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.